Iron or all the Vets. But those
Blog
are the guys.
Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening. How everybody's doing? This is Dr. Dave. I don't have a doctorate, but I'm filling in for Dr. John tonight, who is currently traveling in some pretty treacherous weather. The whatever this Greek tropical hurricane depression storm thing that's coming through Florida is throwing an awful lot of rain to us here in the Mid-Atlantic coast. And we want John to get back safely because we actually dig his company. So we're going to give him a pass this evening. He may join us later on. But for now, I will be piloting the plane. Make sure you fasten your seatbelts. So let me go around and do some introductions. First thing off, my brother at arms, longtime friend and co-host, Todd Saxon. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, Todd.
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here, people. The man, just really happy to be here. Going to keep this part short so we can go do the run through because I know Dave's got something he wants to get to. So that's it for my intro.
All right. And moving on to our second brother in arms, the gentleman out there where the voting actually came out correct, Indiana. Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, Tim. I'm doing wonderful. Humbled as always to be here. Looking forward to a great show. I want to say, obviously, happy Veterans Day to all those that served. Day late, happy Marine Corps birthday, and looking forward to an awesome show as usual.
Outstanding. Well done. Good to have you on tonight. Now, moving on to our next panelist, cohort, friend, and sister-in-arms now. Can't be your brother-in-arms. You got to be a sister-in-arms, unless something's gone vaguely wrong since the last time we've talked. Granny Hawkster, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm well. Thank you, and happy Veterans Day, and thank you to all that have served and is currently serving, and, you know, God bless America, and God bless the United States, and I'm sorry I had to miss last week. I've had a pretty busy schedule, a lot going on the past week, but I'm glad to be here tonight with you guys. So
happy to have you.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Yeah. Good to have you back, and hope everything's going well on your end there in Arkansas. Now, lastly, but certainly not leastly, cross-continental panelists, because you have yet to land, Malcolm. Malcolm, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Dave. I am officially here in Charleston, South Carolina. Here Friday, October 30th, and I'm staying with a friend of Dave's. I'm not going to say who it is, but he's a real cool guy. And he's renting me a room, and it's really great. And I'm helping him. He's helping me. And before I say anything, Todd, thank you for being a Marine. I honor those guys. I was U.S. Army, but I honor Marines more than I do Army because you guys did more. You know, as a matter of fact, Todd, every time I watch Gomer Pyle, I think of you. You know, so and Tim, thank you for being here, and for all who served, I appreciate what you did for me. I served for 13 years in the U.S. Army, and there were guys that paved the way for me before I joined. They actually gave me my freedom, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. When you watch MASH, I think of them, and combat, things like that. The guys from Vietnam, all the way back to the bicentennial days, to me, those are the real veterans, and I just want to make sure that, you know, they're recognized by me every military holiday. I honor all the vets, but those guys come first because they did more than what I did, you know, so I just want to do that. So,
outstanding, brother. We appreciate you having that. Absolutely. So, tonight, our topic is going to be the most important day of the year when it comes down to us folks close to the military, and that is, well, actually the second most. Marine Corps birthday, of course, is number one. Number two is Veterans Day today, which is formerly known as Armistice Day for folks that, you know, didn't keep up on the history of it, and it's The reason why it happens on November 11th is because it honors the end of World War One. That happened at 11 a.m. on November 11th. I think it was 1918. Might be 7th. I think it's 18. The first Veterans Day, and I just looked this up, the first Veterans Day was actually held in Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama!
Yeah.
In 1947, by a gentleman named Raymond Weeks, who had organized the National Veterans Day Parade and had, you know, festivities and food and the whole nine yards. Well, the term caught on, and by 1954, Congress passed a bill that allowed President Dwight D. Eisenhower the ability to change the name on Armistice Day to Veterans Day, which I certainly appreciate because it's a whole hell of a lot easier to say veterans than it is armistice. But, yeah, it was to honor all combat service men and women out there. And that started in 1954. So what are we looking at? 70, come on, math, 45, 65 years, 66 years of calling it Veterans Day. So,
yeah.
The background and the road has been plowed. I'm going to turn over the floor to my good brother Todd, and at which time I will go up out back here and establish camp, crack them open, and light them up. So, Todd, if you would, brother, take it over.
I got it. Thank you. Yeah, you guys might have picked up. We're going to be definitely talking about Veterans Day today. There is much to cover. We have two veterans on the show. We have somebody that is works with the Marine Corps currently, and we definitely have a Marine Brad on the show. Granny, I know you've got a connection somewhere. Go ahead, let me know your connection real quick, and I'll go carry on.
Well, my dad served a couple years in the Army, and my brother served 20-plus years in the Army. He had to get a medical discharge. I had an uncle who was in the Army for many years, and my mom's father served in the military. So I do have, you know, military people in my family. And my uncle, actually, it's kind of neat where my uncle lives up in Kansas, down on one of the streets in Leavenworth, they took about 200 pictures of military men and women, and they made these banners. And my uncle's picture is on one of those banners down on Delaware Street in Leavenworth, Kansas, where I used to live, which I thought was
awesome.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome. All right, so it's for everybody on the show tonight, it is definitely relevant at so many different levels. I'm going to take a step to yesterday. I did 20 years in the United States Marine Corps. I'm blessed to again be supporting the United States Marine Corps and in another capacity other than uniform. And the Marine Corps celebrated its 245th birthday. It was established 10 November 1775 in Tunn's Tavern, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One branch of the service that was born in the bar, go figure. Sitting there doing a group of us that have served together, we do a conference call every year and way too many toasts, and on the phone to Zero Dark 30 this morning, just having a blast. If your social media feed has been buried by past and present Marines recently and then inundated by all branches today, that's just the way it works by the calendar. So I'm not even going to We are unapologetic as Marines about burying people's feeds. Veterans Day. Not to be confused with Memorial Day, people. Veterans Day is geared for those that are still amongst us. We're Memorial Days for those that have, especially for those that passed, paying the highest price for our freedom. I kind of felt it was poured, threw it out to Dr. John, I don't know, several days ago. Heck, I think it was probably on his birthday. We, a bunch of us, had a chat going, throwing things out. And he said we could go ahead and do that. Speaking of, just a quick reminder, Dr. John just had another birthday. While he's not with us here at this point on the show, hopefully with any luck, he'll get through the weather and get pulled in and be able to jump on board. So we're looking forward to that. It's a big deal, and I appreciate the way Malcolm went ahead and talked about the whole history thing. That's huge, because that stuff for the United States, it started with 13 colonies. Just saying, enough is enough. And those branches that were around then, we had the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps at that point. It's not like aviation was a thing yet. Other than, you know, Ben Franklin with a kite wasn't a whole lot to do much about for aviation support at that time. All branches served in some capacity at there, and that's, they really made the way, paved the way for us. I'm going to go ahead and throw it to the other veteran that's on the show tonight. And Malcolm, did you get anything that you particularly, something about Veterans Day that reaches out to you?
Well, Dave, I think the thing that hits me the most is I got to Fort McCullen, Alabama, June 21st, 1982. Except for church camp, I'd never been away from home. And this was a whole new thing to me when they were teaching me, you know, new techniques and new things still. The guy I looked up to the most was my very first drill sergeant. I didn't get to graduate with him. But if anybody wants to know who turned me into who I am, and my dad did, but this guy, Drill Sergeant Royston, served in Vietnam. He was 6'8", 290 pounds, had a high and tight. He was from Atlanta, Georgia. His favorite teams were the Atlanta Falcons and the Braves baseball team. You know, and he was just, you know, when I had this high-pitched voice and we went out for a two-mile run, took me out four nights in a row and showed me where my diaphragm, got my voice deep. You know, I was there, Dave, and I was up in the mountain. And he goes, platoon, halt. You know, he's going to teach me. And I go, up in the moon, you know. I mean, it was so great. He had me out in the middle of formation, and the only thing that I hate is I couldn't zero my weapon and graduate with Garcia and Stiles and Copage, the guys I originally got there with. But I eventually graduated, and Drill Sergeant Royston was so damn proud of me. He said, damn it, he goes, I wanted to graduate, but I'm just, he said, Malcolm, I don't want to see Private Wildman. Someday I want to see General Wildman. And he's been an inspiration to me ever since I graduated at Fort McClellan in September of 82. He is. So.
That's awesome. Hey, Dave, are you all set up? Comfortable?
Yeah, I'm good to go, and we just had somebody join us.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to tell you. Now that you're comfortable, you got to go back in, and we got Velvet joining us.
Velvet should be with us. I clocked him in just a minute ago. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Velvet, welcome aboard.
What's going on?
You probably got to hear a little bit while you were sitting in the green room.
Yeah.
So, you know, the theme is we're going to be discussing Veterans Day, and I know you have familial connections as well. So, since you're on and with us, again, welcome aboard. Why don't you go ahead and give us some of your input on Veterans Day, brother.
Well, I'd like to wish everybody Happy Veterans Day that is here now and will be listening later. I have an uncle that I never met. He got killed in World War II. He was on the USS Birmingham, and they were under attack in the Pacific, and he was on the catapult. He was an airman, and he got clipped by one as it came by and kind of crushed both his legs. And he saved about 100 extra people, and he went. They told him to go down to medic. And he said, "No, I'm going to help, you know, clear this deck, and we're going to save as many people as we can." And after about 2.5 hours of this onslaught, he finally went below deck, and one of the guys came down to check on him, and they said that he had already died because he had bled out from, you know, from getting hit by a kamikaze. So they said, you know, we wish we could have saved any of the people that were on the ship, you know, on the flight deck. They said they couldn't. They just pushed them all overboard. They, you know, we wish we could have had them come back home and be buried, but that, you know, that's how it happened during that time period. So my family fought to get my uncle Robbie recognized, and I'll have to send you. I'll send y'all the pictures. I have pictures of his spot on the USS Yorktown that's here in Charleston, and he's in the section called the Cruiser Room. He's the last room on this tour, and it's got the story about him and what he did for, you know, service this country. He got the Navy Star and all, you know, he earned that. That was awesome. Navy Cross, excuse me. He earned that. And that was pretty neat. We went to Greensboro to get that, and while my dad was still alive. And my dad was in World War II, and he was a radar specialist. And the oldest Kerr brother, was a drill sergeant for the Army during that time period. So three of them were in military, two in the Navy, and one in the Army. So it was pretty neat to hear the stories and stuff like that. Because my dad got drafted when he was at Notre Dame. He left as a junior to go into the military, and it was just, you know, a time period that got lost, you know. And it was, every time Veterans Day came around, it was always nice to hear, you know, the good side of it, not just the bad, you know, not always bad, you know, that happened. You know, yes, we lost a lot of lives, but still, I mean, war is war, and it's never going to be pretty. Don't care how you dice it up, it's never going to be pretty. So, but yeah, those things, you know, this is the time of year you reflect on those things. You reflect on the men and women that fought so brave for us, any war, whatever war it was, any war. You know, and if it weren't for people like you and Malcolm and the rest of them, I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here talking right now. So, I want to thank you guys.
I appreciate it, brother. I want to make a comment. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You mentioned that your uncle got the Navy Cross. Now, the branches have different awards for things, but for Department of the Navy, the Navy Cross is the highest award that they can get. When you get above that, the only award above that, just so you know, if you're not aware, Velvet, is the Medal of Honor.
Right. He did not get that
one.
He did not get that one.
Okay, I just, you know, that's...
I'll send you the pictures. It's all there. All the stuff's there. Yeah, it's all there. He did get that. I mean, I believe that's what that was. I mean, it was quite a few years ago. I mean, it happened before my mom died, so that was more than 10 years ago. So I think that was – we got that in 06 or 07 from – we went to Greensboro because my Uncle Jackie's the one that got it done. So
yeah, that's a big deal. I just wanted to put that out there for especially Dr. Hugh, making sure you knew that was – it was important that you were aware of the importance of that particular award.
Oh, yeah.
But especially any of the listeners and the unmarked civilians who were not aware of the eminence of that particular award. That's huge. That's awesome. That's thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everybody, I didn't even mention familial stuff on my side.
Right.
My dad's father was Army Air Corps in World War I. His brother was Army in World War II. My dad was a Korean veteran. I served in the Army Airborne with the Rakusens, Brown Star guy, two Purple Hearts. He did not learn to duck the first time, as he said.
Right.
My oldest brother served in the Army just post-Vietnam. And we had a foster brother had served in the Marine Corps. In fact, there was a whole group that was around the house that grew up that were all Vietnam veterans. Most of them Army fought by and far. It was real, you know, given the size, they were tended to be the heaviest handed on the draft. That's just the way that one went. But I thought I'd throw a story out about why I became a Marine. So I was working in an independent grocery store chain. You know, it was called Convenient Food Mart. You know, they're like, hey, you're assistant manager. My shifts are all over the damn place. I'm struggling trying to get it where it works, where I can finish, courses at the local community college. And I look at my older brother's peer group and evaluating some of my habits, where I'm at and working, and the lack of progress, if you will, and I look at my older brother's peer group, and I'm like, man, who's got their stuff in one bag? And it turns out it's a guy named John Salata. John, big love, brother. He was the one guy that had his stuff in one bag. He joined the Marine Corps. He was Marine Corps Security Forces. He worked up there in at one of the sub-pen areas up there in Washington State. And so he was the influence. So I said at that point, I can't keep doing this. Just look at the success rate, the older peer group. I mean, it's all these guys that went through the Army and they're still smoking dope and doing this kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's no bueno. Probably my biggest influence on joining the Marine Corps. So that was one of those things. I wanted to make sure, despite the whole family chain being some form of Army, and I guess theoretically, you could kind of say Grandpa was sort of Air Force before the Army Air Corps was the Air Force. Got to remember, the Air Force wasn't born until after World War II. They were still the Army Air Corps through World War II. For those of those folks involved, you notice the veterans have to kind of, and some of the folks that get history dig a little deeper on that stuff, kind of why I shifted that way. Now, I tell you what, I kind of want the Marine brat perspective, if possible, here. So, Diamond Dave.
Well, let me go ahead
talk
and
about
before
him, because your dad's a retiree.
Absolutely. And he's still a Marine to this moment. I just got off the phone to him shortly before the show, and he's still he retired in 93 and is still very much the Sergeant Major. But I actually had the opportunity about a month or two ago to take some files that he had
on some genealogy stuff, and I'm sure you guys know I'm not the type that's going to go to 23andMe because I don't want my DNA out there floating around. So we did the hard way. I know the conspiracy theorist, but yeah, we went the hard way. We went through findagrave.com, a rather robust site, and found we were able to manage to trace back the Atwell side of the family, or at least ways the direct line from me as far back as we could, all the way to the early 1700s, and had family that fought in the Revolution. And granted, they were all farmers and carpenters, but they took up arms to build this country and then to defend it in the Civil War. So it brings me to both my grandfathers on the Atwell side. My grandfather fought in the Navy, was in the Navy and fought in the Pacific. And my mom's dad, my grandfather, Oresto, and he is an Italian immigrant who came over here from Italy and became a citizen, became an army soldier, and went back to Italy and fought against the Axis in World War II. You bring it to the next generation. I've got two uncles and, of course, my dad that were in the service and everything. I could not make it due to my hearing. I couldn't pass the hearing test to save me, so I was not allowed to enlist. And unfortunately, I was trying to get in during the Clinton administration where they were reducing the military, and it just did not pan out. So nevertheless, I am going to read you guys briefly a telegram. And when you ask about being a military brat, bear with me. Okay, the telegram is from Andrews Air Force Base, Washington, D.C., and I'm reading this paraphrase as it goes. Quote, Sergeant Robert E. Atwell, USMC, 7th Engineering Battalion Headquarters, Heavy Equipment Platoon, FPO 96602, wife Marie wishes servicemen advised, both son David Lee, 11:29. God, I get choked up. 11:29 p.m. 2nd of May. 7 pounds 10 ounces 20 inches. Medical authorities state both are fine. And that's how my dad found out that he was a dad. So I never knew this telegram existed, and up until about 6 months ago, right after I turned 50. And like I said, I'm trying. Whew, damn, this is deep stuff, man. Nevertheless, there was always a family joke that my dad, I was 10 months old the first time my dad laid eyes on me. And he picked me up out of the stroller, and I barfed all over him. Sit down, little thing. But when he sent me that picture, that telegram, I says, well, appreciate you lasting 50 goddamn years to tell me this, Pop. And he says, you don't know what I was doing? And I said, I'm kind of scared to find out. And he says, right? I was training. Yeah, because there's no telling over there in Vietnam, right? He was training a bunch of Korean soldiers on engineering, and they were drinking beer and sitting around eating tuna MREs. Yeah. And he got the telegram.
They were sea rats back in the day, just saying.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't help but get, choked up when you read these things. And, you know, I find out more and more about my dad time. And I've often said that these guys who go around blurting
their accomplishments. Well, one of two things. Either they're lying or there's something wrong with them, because nobody should enjoy war. And, you know,
absolutely not.
Finding out the stuff that my dad did, and he never mentioned it. And so, you know, when I call him out on it, I say, Pop, you know, you got to tell me these things, you know? And he says, just doing the job. And he's just as plain as he can be about it. And he doesn't, he's proud of what he did, but he doesn't wear it right there on his chest for everybody to see. He just, to this moment, will tell you, I did what had to be done. I didn't bitch and I didn't flinch. I got it done. And I moved on to the next part.
Right.
And so my dad's a guy that's much to be admired. And I certainly appreciate everything he did. Now, as a Marine Corps brat, I can tell you to do a little frame out of what it's like to be a military brat. You move every 2 or 3 or 4 years. And when you're a child, your friends mean the world to you. You know, when you get to be an adult, you really don't give a shit either way, but it's just one more person you got to – it's like, okay, fine. I'm a
you
got to
put a diaper on. Yeah, I got you.
Right. But when you're a kid and you have to go to a new school and all that jazz, it could get you right in the feels, man. It could screw you up pretty bad. And I remember when we were leaving Paris Island to move up here in 82, I was in the 7th grade, and I had the, and Todd, you could probably appreciate this. As a matter of fact, everybody but Tim has probably spent some time, or maybe Granny Hulks who hasn't been on it. But when we drove from Paris Island to Camp Lejeune back in 82.
Lejeune.
I didn't get my French in there. My dad owned a little yellow two-door Corolla. And this is back when the Corollas first came out, and they were like a shell and an engine, and that was it. And it was a manual,
pretty much,
right?
Yep.
Mom had the conversion van, which was like the Buffalo Bill van. It had the TV in it. All it needed was a white paint job and candy in the back of it, right? Well, who drew the short straw to ride with Dad? I did.
You did.
Yeah. So we're pulling out of Paris Island, and I'm bawling. You know, I'm a 12-year-old kid, and Dad says, God damn it, quit your goddamn bawling. He says, they're just friends. And he says, it ain't another goddamn 6 months. You're going to see them anyway, because their dads are getting transferred up here, too. It's just the way the shit works. So I had to keep it cool to keep my life intact up until we got to Charleston. And we came to this wonderful structure called the Cooper River Bridge.
Yes.
Now, Velvet, you remember that one, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That was the most horrifying goddamn bridge ever built.
Yes, sir.
And there I am with Dad in this tiny Corolla in the manual, and there was a traffic jam, and we were stuck on that bridge for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You feel this way, baby.
I'm here today. And the whole time, all I kept thinking about was, Dave, you have got to maintain. And at 12 years old, I was going, you have got to maintain,
right,
because this man will push the emergency brake on this car and rearrange your anatomy. You've got to remain clear.
Right.
You know. So we got up here to to Lejeune, and I did not go to base schools where I had gone to Paris Island. And going into public schools here in coastal North Carolina was a total culture shock. I went to a school that was built in like 1880-something, and it was something to behold. So when you were a military brat, you had that kind of stuff going on. You had the constant, Dad's got to go away. You know, if you look at the Christmas pictures from back in the day, every
third year, Dad was out of all the Christmas pitchers because he was in Okinawa. So, you know, having to deal with that, and it was always tougher if you're the firstborn, and especially if you're a son, it's tough because you become the guy who has to take care of the yard and keep everything clean and you know, keep everybody straight on Mom's watch. And it ain't easy. It's not easy at all to have your dad disappear, and you're trying to grow up with the burden that has, and, you know, and you're trying to handle all this adult stuff at a young age. But I'm going to tell you something. Every little bit, all the bad, all the good times and all the bad times, got me to the point that I'm standing right here. And I wouldn't change a bit of it. So, tickled to death to have my dad as a dad. Couldn't be any prouder of him. And regardless of what you go through as a military brat, you better damn well be appreciated of the fact that you got somebody out there that's giving you the opportunity to be a whiny ass from time to time. So,
you know, and I get that as the dad of Marine brats. The there is just, you know, poor Gary and my son, I mean, it was just one place after the other, one school system after the other. It was freaking brutal for him. So when I retired in 2005, it was like, do I go home? There was, economy was pretty much garbage up there. Where I'm from in Northeast Ohio, I grew up just west of Cleveland, to give you some perspective. And so it was like, man, what do I do? And I was like, man, Gary, and I just really let, you know what, I'm going to stay right the heck here. I'll make the rest of this up as I go. And we're going to let him finish a bloody school system for a change. You know, let him be able to finish that stuff because, you know, social media has been good. He's been able to, you know, reconnect with some of the folks from the past and stuff like that. But it just, you know, he's, I'll tell you, Gary was pretty bloody well traveled by the time he was 12. It's just one of those things. It was, you know, he was born in Okinawa. He was, the next place he lived was Hawaii. He went from Hawaii to Houston, Texas. Went from Houston, Texas up to, we went to Cherry Point. We went from Cherry Point to Kansas. There in Kansas, I mean, you know, just some of the craziness that went on. We went from Kansas to over here. I mean, he'd been all over the doggone place. I'm like, he's doing that. You know, I'm doing schools in different places. I'm in Norway, you name it, stuff. You know, anything's going on. And, heck, one of my favorite phone calls with him in Norway is I found out that in Norway they raise reindeer like we raise cattle for food.
Oh, wow.
And I told them I had, they had one of their big markets for the folks when we go over there and we're doing those NATO exercises was they have folks that sell the reindeer skins. And when they say the 8 tiny reindeer that pull a sled, yeah, they are tiny. And talked about, you know, I was like, hey, you know, because I have a brother, the one that passed last year, the big fan of all the hunting and fishing and all that and the different wildlife, and he had things. I darn sure bought him a reindeer hide, and, you know, you have to have the whole special import tags and all that kind of stuff, and did that stuff to get it sent to him. But Gary picked up, and, man, he was stinking young. He had to be grade school yet. He was talking about with the reindeer. He goes, got to be careful. You go, Santa Claus will be pulling the sleigh, and it'll be ho, 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 as people are taking the damn reindeer out.
God bless.
You know, the poor son of a gun got his dad's humor. The daughter does, too, stuff like that. You know, you were saying how your dad was giving you fits about the folks transferring and that. You know, I was doing so much independent duty that those folks weren't going to come back, and he wasn't going to necessarily see them again. But man, yeah, as a father of Marine brats, that's you really try to. It's like, man, dude, it's going to suck. Make sure you keep those things. Can you have a pen pal, you know? And I sure didn't see social media coming. So I couldn't, you know, I wasn't prescient enough to call that for him. But it's just, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And it's it's a Marine dad that would just suck for your kids.
When we moved up here, I remember coming home and telling my mom, I says, you know, there's guys at my school right now who have never left, have never gone to Washington, D.C. I mean, I was a 12-year-old kid, just like totally flabbergasted. I'm going, they've never been to Washington, D.C. I've been like in the Smithsonian 6 million times. What's the matter with these people, Mom? And, you know, I'd come home the next day. Hey, this guy lives in his grandmother's house. You know, and I'm going, you know, how in the hell does that work? Because I had moved around so much that I couldn't comprehend the fact that people, you know, don't do that. And, you know, like me right now, my son, the house we live in right now, we bought this house when he was, what, 8, 9 months, 8, 9 months old. And this will be his house. The house paid off, and he will get it when I croak or when I decide to walk away from it. So there's a possibility. Yeah, well, it may be sooner than later if I keep burning these cigars, but,
right?
You know, for me to actually wrap my mind around the fact that he would stay in the same house for most of his life or stay in one town for the rest of his life. It was totally alien to me, and was until, you know, I got my, you know, 30s, and I finally started looking around going, hey, there's a whole hell of a lot more in this world than, you know, just moving every 3 years because the Corps has got to send you all over the place. So, yeah, it's a hell of a culture shock. And, you know, to Gary's credit, you were speaking on Hawaii and that kind of stuff. We went from Quantico to Chicago, and mind you, Dad was on recruiting duty in Chicago from 74 to 77. That wasn't much fun. People wouldn't let their children play with me and my brother because Dad was a Marine, blah, blah, blah. And then we went to Parris Island and then up here. And, you know, I spent all of my time on this side. You know, Gary, and for crying out loud, the guy was on an island as a kid. And Hawaii is a whole different culture. You don't wander off base much out there. You know what I mean? Because the indigenous really don't like us, despite the fact that it's a state. And the cultural difference. As a matter of fact, when I moved from Chicago to Parris Island, my first grade teacher was a real country southern drawl girl, and she would get in the class and go, all right, y'all need to do this on your own. And I went home, first grade kid, I looked at my mom dead in the eye. I says, I don't understand one goddamn word that's coming out of this woman's mouth. What do I do, you know? Because I didn't know what y'all and on your own was. I had no idea. It just totally blew my mind. So,
yeah, all y'all were plural possessive and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And the food, for Christ's sake, dude. I mean, cornbread. You had biscuits in Chicago. You come down here and they put cornbread on your damn tray in the lunchroom. You're like, what in Christ is that? You had no idea what it was, you know?
Oh, yeah, the difference between grown up, I mean, this is, and traveling, cream of wheat, oatmeal, and grits.
Yep.
And
grits are shit.
The funny thing is, depending upon where you're at, while they're all different, they're all replaceable. They're all, you just swap them out for the same function in so many ways. And once you figure that part out, it's like, okay, that's just that here. Okay, but yeah, it's they're, and they're rather different from one another.
Yeah, all of them. You can have that cream of wheat. That was another one. When I was a kid, I wouldn't touch the stuff. I got my ass beat many a day for not eating cream of wheat. I wouldn't touch the stuff.
If I don't, it's grits in the south and cream of wheat up north, and you know you have to have the southern grits. You have to have the southern grits when you're here. But I started to like you know, being a southern boy, I liked cream of wheat. Boy, you just
wheat Tina
thought that you just thought I called everybody in the south a bunch of you know inbreds. What, you're eating cream of wheat? I was like, yeah, cream of wheat. There you go. Where you from, boy? Are you from the north? I was like, no, I'm born and raised here. They were like, are you kidding me? I went, no.
No, seriously, no.
Yeah,
that's
my
real
family
stuff.
Even did that. Yeah, my family even said that. They said, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing with that? I said, I just wanted to try it out. It turned out to be okay.
Think about this, because Dave referenced the Italian heritage. What about polenta?
So close
to grits.
That too is garbage.
You know, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes it tells you the more things are different, the more they're the same. Now, and I'll tell you, for the oatmeal aficionados, those steel cut oats change the game for your oatmeal.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And some of the instant oatmeal is so bad.
But if you get that in the metal can, that steel cut oats, oh yeah, baby.
I like grits.
Yeah, that's a game changer. Now, before I get into the foods, you know what? Let me do one more food thing because I definitely want to bring Tim in because I want to get the he's worked with the Marine Corps both as a contractor and as a civilian. GS billet, and it's been a while since I've hit him with this one. We all need to bow because he is a GS-13. The whole, what I learned over the years with where I grew up, it was creamed chipped beef.
Yeah.
If you go over in the can section, it's usually over there near where the tuna and the canned sardines and your spam and stuff is. You'll see those little glass jars.
And the pork grains and all that other stuff.
You'll see the little glass jars of the dehydrated corned beef.
Yep.
And that's what they use for the cream chip beef. And then, of course, there's SOS. For those that don't understand it, that's shit on a spoon bowl. And that's a chow hall staple, and it's generally beef. It might be a beef pork mix, and sometimes, depending on where you're at, it might have to be.
It might be something they found a week later.
Beef or beef pork mix. That's its own thing, which is not to be confused with sausage gravy. And it's not to be confused with sawmill gravy, which is made with the various drippings, but has no meat in it.
Right.
And the funny thing is, if you're French, then they call it's all based off of bechamel. Just saying. All right.
Thank you, Martha Stewart, for that.
hey, Todd.
Travel. Go ahead, Granny.
Well, I got, you know, you were talking about food. I got a funny story to share about my dad when he was in the Army, because he always did KP duty a lot of times. So whenever, you know, they were doing inspections, you know, his inspections were always done, you know, in the kitchen part, you know. So his buddies would always, like, put their stuff in my dad's footlocker, like the girly magazines and everything like that, you know. And my dad was always laughing about that. If he'd ever got caught with that stuff in his footlocker, he'd probably been serving time in Fort Leavenworth.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Because they were always his buddies were always hiding their stuff in my dad's footlocker, because my dad never got his inspection done on his footlocker. His inspections were always done in the kitchen.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That is really funny. All right, so Tim, let us get the contractor civilian perspective, sir.
Well, you know, there are several things that I, you know, figured I could discuss or bring up or talk about tonight. And, you know, one thing I did want to point out is without working for the Marine Corps, well, let me just put it this way, working for the Marine Corps has really opened up a whole lot of perspective, and I have had the honor to work with so many folks, and a lot of them have now since not only retired from the Marine Corps, but retired from civilian service too. And, you know, I've looked up to so many people there. I've heard so many stories, and one of the wonderful things is that just working there, when you get to be friends with people such as yourself, Todd, and everyone else, you know, they a lot of them, you know, they welcome people like me just kind of, you know, asking what certain things were like, or, you know, like they'll be kind of swapping stories back and forth, and they'll include me in the loop. And I think that's awesome. I think it's amazing. I love hearing about all of it. It's something that I don't know if I want to use the word jealous or envious, but there's something to having that true brotherhood, that camaraderie, that service that you have done, that, you know, a lot of us basically just stand back and look at and like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, something that some of us don't have, but I admire everyone who's served and you know, they've gone through whatever it is. I mean, just even from the people that, you know, I mean, I work with some who they went through boot camp. They never really were off, you know, OCONUS. They were basically here, maybe they didn't serve that long, but they still went through it, you know. And then there's those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. So, you know, just being, yeah, coming into the Marine Corps as a contractor, and then I think even more so on the civilian side, because I played even a deeper role, it really opens up your eyes. And one thing I posted on Facebook, and it's the absolute truth, is I've never been more proud of an organization that I work for. I am so happy to say, yep, I work for the Marine Corps. And, you know, that's something I take pride in, even though I was never an officer or enlisted. I know that those people that were officers or enlisted and high up, they know that I know what I'm doing, and they can rely on me and depend on me to get my job done to help support those Marines that are in action right now. And that means the world to me. So there's that. I did want to throw out there that, you know, Todd has mentioned that, yes, I work for the Marine Corps, and I think a lot of others have talked about family members. And I did have, you know, my father, he served, although he doesn't care to think of himself as a true veteran. I don't know. Maybe he's just kind of, I don't know. He served when he was, I think he was 16. He had his sister basically sign for him. And him and his brothers, I'm not going to go into detail of his childhood, but I don't think it was a great one, and they just kind of, they wanted to get away from home, and that's why him and his siblings joined the Navy. But he had his sister actually sign for him when he was 16, and he served for 3 years. He never left the country. I think he had it, I don't know how easy he had it, but it was, you know, basically at I think he had a desk job for about 3 years, and then he was out. Now my stepdad, though, and this is one thing I wanted to point out, not to make it a dark, you know, kind of gloomy thing, but one thing we have to remember, and I think that this is one thing we can say that we've come a long way in. We recognize our veterans now. When you go to the lows, you know, and I'm sorry, I have to admit, I've used my CAC, the common access card, and I've got, and they know that I was not enlisted, but I've gotten the discount at Lowe's. And, you know, so I've heard them say, thank you for your service, and I'll tell them I was not enlisted. But my point is that nowadays, that's what you hear. And you can, the veterans can get a free meal today. And, you know, they're thanked for their service, and that's important. And back when, you know, my stepdad, he told me, you know, back in his day, and I'm going to forget, I don't know the dates, because I'm a typical man. I don't know if it was Vietnam era. I'm not positive on that, but I know he was military police in the Army. And he's told me, you know, he was real young. I can't remember what E-level, what enlisted level he was at, but he was pretty young. He was military police, and he told me about standing on top of, I believe it was the Pentagon. But anyway, he had mentioned, he was like, you know what, back when I was in, I was not, or he basically said he had not been thanked for his service until just recently, back when he was actually enlisted, and he was called a baby killer. And I think in that aspect, we've come a long way, because that's absolutely terrible, and it's nothing but ignorance. There's a lot of people, I mean, maybe you had some bad apples who, whatever, but for the most part, you know, we had things like the draft. There were people over there that they didn't like what they were doing. Like it was, someone mentioned it earlier. You know, they didn't like that. So I think we've come a long way in that aspect. And my hat's off to folks like my stepdad, my dad, and all those that have served. That's what I have to say. And I went back and forth with Todd. I think it was yesterday. I told him, I said, you know, I think I've got a story to share today. And he said, oh, you know, you don't say. And I told him about it. And then I thought about today, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say that. And then I got to thinking a little bit more, and I thought, you know what? I think I am, because I think that there's a lot of people out there, especially in these times, all this hostility. I think there's a lesson that I want to share with listeners, not necessarily the people on the call here chatting, but anybody listening. I think there's a real good lesson that I learned yesterday, and I thought maybe I'd share it. And again, I don't want to be a downer. I am kind of telling on myself. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but something happened to me yesterday. I was on the way to get my kid a haircut, my 8-year-old son, and we're kind of rural, and you know, we're on the outskirts of Westfield, which is about 15 minutes north of Indy. So I don't have long to go. We just go on this rural road, country road, kind of about, you know, 8 minutes. And then I'm on a state road where the place is, that's where the Kroger is, adjacent to the Great Clips, blah, 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 whatever. So I'm on my way there. It's a 45 mile an hour speed limit. And I'm going down the road, cruising 45, and I come up upon this old beat up. I have no idea what it was. It was some kind of an SUV, but it was a pretty old one. And they're going about 10 under the speed limit. So how much does that irritate all of us, right? So I get up, you know, I'm kind of behind him. I'm like, what the heck is this guy doing? And I'm trying not to be a butt, you know, and ride in his trunk. But obviously he's going 35. So, you know, I'm right there behind him. And I'm like, well, whatever. You know, and honestly, I wasn't that irritated. I just kind of thought, why can't this guy go the speed limit? So anyway, turns his flashers on for a couple minutes, then turns them off. And we're still going. Well, then we get to a school zone. Oddly enough, it's where my son goes to school. So you get to the school zone, and it drops down. It was from the time frame to where you got to go 20. And so this guy's in front of me, right? Well, he maintains a speed of
30. Tim, did we lose you?
Uh-oh.
We lost Tim.
Oh, no. Hey, yeah. I'm going to go inside, check the boards.
Can I say something? While there's some free time?
Yeah. Go ahead. Run through this because we're going to put Granny on deck next.
Okay. Todd, this has been something that has been a special part of me. I told a lot of wrestlers that I'm a big wrestling fan. You know, I love to do the wrestling impressions. I learned how to do it for Benning. But, you know, I'm more proud to be a soldier. Because I've overcome so many obstacles. There were times that I didn't think I was going to get past this part or that part, but I did. I guess the key word to me is perseverance, and it all started in the fall of 1980. I was in Napa, California, and I was watching KQED Channel 9, and there was a documentary about John F. Kennedy, and I heard him say this, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you could do for your country." And Todd, I thought about my bicycle. I thought about candy bars or Great American in Santa Clara, or, you know, watching Batman and Speed Racer on TV. And I'm like, I want to go to the Army. I want to show this country, give back to them what they gave me. And there's been so many obstacles, but I am so damn proud of everything I did in my Army career and all the people I served with, the places I went to, and the things I did, communications. I made E5, I made sergeant. I never thought I'd do that. I went to drill sergeant school for a year and a half, and I did 220 of 230 tests. I never got my Ranger hat, but I'm just proud that I put that much effort in, and, you know, it's just, I was communication sergeant in my National Guard unit for 4 years, you know, and I went to Macedonia. We climbed a mountain 1,000 feet high. It was so high, there was mist at the top. I didn't know what it was. It was part of a cloud. I mean, how can you not respect that, you know? And every time you used your rifle, you know, and you smelled that gunpowder coming out of the M16, you know, and you just got a rush, you know, or when you got to Fort Bliss, Texas, and you went on your first 2 mile run and you pooped out after 2 blocks, you know, and then you just worked at it and you worked at it and you did things that you didn't think you could do, you know, and you look at all these guys, you know, that have done more than you, and that's where the respect is. That's what I'm saying, you know, so.
Oh, yes, sir. That's true. It's about, they teach us a bunch. There's a million things I'm going to cover tonight, and I know we'll get nowhere near that. Apparently, Tim got a battery notification, and it just muted him. He said he was still on the call, so he's going to try calling back in.
His cell phone?
Okay. Here in a moment, yeah. Apparently, his battery stopped in mid sentence. That's crazy. So, what
I
got to
say this to you, Todd. I'm more proud of you and your career than I am of mine. I mean, because you were in a tougher branch, and you did more and served longer than I did. And the respect is right there, Todd. And I'm hoping someday I get to meet you and take a few pictures. I really do.
Oh, yeah, for sure, brother. Hell, I want to meet you just because.
And Todd,
because we shared so much on the call.
I met him 14 times.
No, look, I'm just another guy that served.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. And one time, I told Roddy I served in the military. He didn't know it. And he says, "Malcolm, I'm going to do this for you. Not only being a wrestling fan you are, but," he goes, "you are dedicated, patriotic." He saluted me. Roddy Piper saluted me in front of everybody.
That's hot because Roddy,
look,
I came here to chew bubble gum and kick some ass, and
I'm all out of bubble gum, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piper loved
me. Back in the green room. Tim, are you on?
All right. Let me go click him and see if he's on there. Okay, hang tight.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, he just on.
Hey, Tim.
Tim, you there?
Tim, cell phones are the pits, man. I'd rather have 2 tin cans and a string sometimes.
No, you're better, but dude, you know, think how we communicated back in the day without them. Oh my God, just something through the landline stuff and all the long distance feeds. Oh God.
Oh yeah.
First time I used a PRC-77 in basic training, putting it together and using it and taking it down. You know, I just knew I was born to be in communications. I just knew it. So I took right to it. I ducked to water.
Tim says I'm here and talking. I can't hear you. Tim, say something again, please.
I'm here. I'm right here.
Hey, Tim.
Yay!
Okay.
Finally.
Tim.
Go. Tim, try to finish your story. You were, you had done the flashers, or he had done the flashers. He's behind you. You were, or you were behind him, and you're working your way forward, and there it just stopped.
Yep. Okay. I apologize. Like I told Todd, I got a better notification. I guess that mutes me or something. I don't know. I got completely kicked out. Anyway, so yeah, I was behind him. We came up to a school zone, and oddly enough, I don't know if you heard that part. So my son goes to school.
Yeah,
school zone.
He kept going 35.
Yeah. So he keeps, you know, blaring through 35. I slow down. I'm like, whatever that was, okay? By this time, the guy's way ahead of me because I slowed down as I was supposed to. And so, you know, then I get further past that school zone, and I come up to the stoplight at 32. And so, of course, it's a red light. So I come up, and I'm right behind him. Well, at this point, the guy rolls his window down, and he starts pointing his finger out and yelling at me. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? And he yells at me, and he's saying, you know, something about me tailgating him. And I already had my window down. And, of course, you know, the whole time I noticed he's got a military police sticker on the back of his car. There's a bumper sticker on his window. And his license plate was handicapped, you know, but he's got his finger out, and he's just giving me hell. And he said, you know, something about tailgating. And I, you know, my first instinct, I got kind of, not real fired up, but I was a little defensive, and I leaned out and I said, you're not going the speed limit. You're going 10 under. What do you expect? And then he said, it's people like you that get people killed in accidents. And I said, it's people like you that run over kids because you're blaring through a school zone. So, you know, I'm just letting the guy have it. We're just going back and forth. And then the light turns green. He goes through, and I'm following him. And, you know, the whole time I've got my 8-year-old kid in the back seat, and the guy turns into the turn lane to go into Kroger, and I'm like, great, you know, I'm going the same place, so we're going to have some kind of altercation here. And he's still kind of driving a little while. He makes a wide turn to get in, and it came over me all at once. And I was like, you know what, this is not how people act. And I told Tanner, because I turned down to go to Great Clips, and he kept going to Kroger, and I said, Tanner, I said, we got something to do here. I said, I need to go apologize to this guy, because that's not how you treat people. And I said, and he's a veteran of the Army. And, you know, this of all time, you know, here it was, the Marine Corps birthday. I just got done posting, you know, happy birthday, Marines, and today's Veterans Day. So I got my kid out, and I walked over, and I saw him get out of the car. And I went up to him, and I said, sir, I just wanted to apologize to you. I said, that was me in that car behind you. And you're right, I was a little too close to you, and I'm sorry. And I said, and the funny thing was, I recognized him. I've seen the man in Kroger twice, and he's getting up there in age, and he's slowing down a bit, but he's a wonderful man, and he's actually told me stories. And if you look at him closely, he's missing fingers on his right hand, and that is due to him being in action. And I said, you know, I actually recognize you. I've talked to you before in the store here, and I said, I just wanted to apologize. And I said, that's not how you act. That's not how I'm supposed to act. And I said, you're my senior, and I said, and you're a veteran, and I know that you are an extremely amazing person for what you've done. And I said, I'm trying to teach my boy here the right thing. And I told him that that's not how I'm supposed to act. And, you know, right away, the guy forgave me. He started talking about the election and how he was pissed off at the outcome. And we shared some, you know, some jokes about that. And then he looked at Tanner and he said, you know what I'm going to do to this guy? Pointing to me, and he says, I'm going to punch him below the belt, you know. So he's joking around, and Tanner's like, he doesn't know what to think. But it's just a lesson to everyone out there, you know, because I know a lot of us can get angry and frustrated. And, I've been known to have my little bouts of road rage and whatnot. But when you see these people out there that are this age, you know, you got to take into consideration what they've been through. And it's just a lesson to respect your elders. And he's been through things that I couldn't even fathom. I mean, the things that he did when he was probably 20 years old, you know, no one here, I shouldn't say no one here, but there's a lot of people that don't understand what all they had to do to make sure that we have the freedom we do today. And so it's just a learning lesson, you know.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there because that was something that came over me yesterday, and I almost got teared up just talking to him. But it really was, you know, and another point was I've got my 8-year-old son there watching me. So it's like, do I really want him thinking that's what you do is just have a shouting match out your window? No. So I want him to be raised to know how to respect those that have served and not even those that have served, just respect your elders, you know? So anyway, that's all I wanted to point out. So
I appreciate it, Tim. No,
yeah,
you're
well
good, brother. You're good. And that was, you know, that's a pretty damn honest story. Again, stuff you can't necessarily script. Tim was on his own as whether to go ahead and tell the story or not. That's some of the honesty of the staff here. Granny, your turn.
Yes.
We are down to 20. We still have to do our little bout at the end where everybody does everything. I think we've run through everybody. We hit Dave early on, or Velvet early on, so we should be golden here. So, Granny, it's on you, and then remember we got to have time for everyone else, please.
Well, I don't really have a whole lot to say because I was never military, you know, like I said. And I did forget to mention one family member, the man that was married to my grandmother after my grandfather died. He was married to my grandmother for 15 plus years, and he was a military cook in the Army and, you know, and everything. And so, you know, I just appreciate everybody that have served, you know, and everything, and that is currently serving for our country and keeping us safe. And, you know, Malcolm, you mentioned Fort Benning, Georgia. I hear you mentioned Fort Benning, Georgia a lot. When my dad was in the Army, that's where he was actually stationed at, was Fort Benning, Georgia, all the time.
Did he,
you know,
get
he was
to go
stationed
airborne?
No, he was only in the Army for like a couple of years, you know. Now my
Granny, I told Hulk Hogan that's the one thing I didn't get to do. I wanted to do. I never got to jump out of a plane. I'm 57. I'm still gonna do it because their energy is still there. I'm gonna overcome this obstacle. Just one.
Now my uncle, he was a parachuter when he was in the Army. He was a parachuter, but my brother, he served in Korea a couple of different times, you know, when he was in the Army. And
the Korean War?
He wasn't in the Korean War, but he served in Korea a couple of different times. My brother's 5 years younger than I am.
Well,
and he was actually in the EOD. He dealt with the explosives a lot. So,
wow.
You know, he actually dropped out of school, and he had my dad sign for him so he could join the Army before he was 18 because my brother, he was so bored with school, you know, and everything, but my brother went back and got his diploma through the military and everything like that. So he finally got out on a medical discharge because of his knee, but, I mean, he said he always hated when because, you know, they would have to go and inspect the hotels, like when the different presidents or vice presidents were out traveling, you know. And I don't remember which vice president it was, but there was one of them all the time. They'd go inspect the hotel, and they'd get everything checked out. And then that particular vice president would change their mind at the last minute and want to go somewhere else, and they'd have to scurry over and check out that hotel, make sure that everything was okay, you know. And so, my brother served 20 plus years in the military before he got out. So,
yeah, that was Secret Service making an adjustment, not so much a president, just for the record. Now something you said, it triggered a memory. Dad was in jump school just short of graduation when the balloon went up with Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else there, he was talking about how they were razzing him, like, you guys are going to be the next ones to go. And yeah, sure enough, Dad was over there with the Rockstons. That's just the way that one goes. Man, that's awesome. We did it was
I got something to say.
No, it's a good thing we're here. We're at 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a great spot for us to do our round table off the board. And since Velvet, since you shouted up first, guess what? It's on you, mate.
I go first. Okay, real quick. Malcolm, I have no problem pushing you out a perfectly good flying airplane if you want to jump. I have no problem.
Right, bring it on. I love it.
No, and then I just want to say, my nephew just made it back stateside. He was stationed in Hawaii. He's in the Navy. He's in one of the lowest presidential band there is. And out there, he also had to do duty. That's the only band that had to go out and do tours. Well, he's now stateside. He's in master theory class now in Norfolk. And they're grooming him to be the next conductor of either one of the top two bands or maybe even the first presidential band. He'll be the conductor of the band.
Wow.
So he just wrote his own ticket.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Now, I will throw out that the Marine Corps Band is the one that's called the Presidential Zone. Just saying. Just to toot the Marine horn. There's a reason for that.
I gotcha.
But, no, that's awesome. Now, I do happen to know you have as I recall, you have a nephew working with the Marine Corps as well.
Yeah, he's down in Parris Island doing IT like some of y'all. I don't know what I forgot. He was supposed to tell me everything, but he's been so busy with trying to buy a new car and fix his place up that he just got and all. He's kind of like, you know, working like y'all all day and then gets home and goes, I don't really want to do anything. So, but yeah,
I'm
down there doing it. I'll let y'all know what his position is because he just passed that second certification that passed the book that was like 3 telephone books thick. I was like, holy cow. But he did it.
Tim, does that sound like CSSP?
What was it again?
He passed a certification in 3 telephone books. Does that sound like CSSP?
Very well could be. Very well could be.
I don't know. He's been busy.
Tim knows.
But remind me the next show. Remind me on the next show about the Air Force, and I'm not gonna go now. We'll get everybody else go. So go. Who's next?
Oh, okay, awesome. That'd be interesting. We're going to talk about the Air Force.
Air Farts.
Sorry, I might have said that out loud.
Be nice.
I'll go because I'm going to go quick. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll go super quick, just to cut on a lighter side. For starters, I wanted to say one thing. The same kind of going back to the same story. Talking to this gentleman, he was a huge supporter, and he told me that he had in talking very loud. He was talking about the election results and how he had a loaded 45, and I was praying like God that nobody was walking by him as he said that because I thought, I don't know if that means you are right now or what, but
right.
I want to keep that a little bit low. But anyway,
yeah, he's loud, all right. I got to write the bare arms.
the other thing I wanted to say, I wanted to point out this, I'm glad I remember too. Todd, I don't know about you, but every time, and of course you've been through a ton of them, but the Marine Corps birthday celebrations, they always have, you know, a tradition, they have the youngest Marine. And doesn't it always just make you cringe when they give the birth date of the youngest Marine? And at the TSO, when they had the one for the TSO, I believe he was born in
99.
How old does that make you feel?
Old.
Very. Yeah. I want to say for the veterans, my big thing is here for the son servant. But I'll tell you, when I was active duty, and it was just, I was listening to my folks, you know, hey, well, when'd you graduate high school? When'd you graduate high school? When'd you graduate high school? And that was a lot less painful. And then suddenly, somewhere down the line, it triggered on, God, you graduated high school then. When the heck were you born? And it was like, ouch. Just saying. Malcolm.
Yes.
Anything else, brother?
Yeah. I've been to a lot of wrestling meet and greets and met a lot of famous people. And I tell them that, you know, I'm a big fan of their movies, TV shows, at the Hollywood show events, and the wrestling meet and greets, meeting the Undertaker and great wrestlers like that, you know. But I told Hulk Hogan about 2 years ago at his beach shop in Orlando on October 27th that I think more than anything, you know, I'm more proud to be a soldier because there's not a lot of people, you know, that are wrestlers that went through what we went through. And I think what we went through is more important than anything anybody else goes through. If it weren't for the guys that served in the wars, we wouldn't have the freedom we've got today. And people don't stop and realize that. They take everything for granted, especially out on the West Coast. They get hyped over their sports teams. But you know what? I'm discovering that there's another side of me, and it's all about the respect for the real Americans. As, you know, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo had Rick Derringer write that song for him. You know, these are the real Americans. These guys, you know, they did things, you know, I'm still impressed at the things they did. You know, Pearl Harbor, and I watched Midway last year in November, and, you know, it's just what they did, it just shakes me up. You know, like, I still watch a movie, An Officer and a Gentleman, and I was watching Stripes and, you know, watching some of the things the guys in Stripes did, and I said, you couldn't get away with that shit in basic training. You'd be in the brig or something, yeah, but
right.
It's just what we did marching, you know, and running. And I was at Fort McClellan, Alabama. I finally graduated my second group, September 82. We did a 10-mile run, and I got to carry the guidon. I was at the front. Drill Sergeant Torres said, you take off like a jackrabbit. We're going to put you at front. They had to keep the colonel and the general and the captain, you know, all the officers and drill sergeant said, well, I'm get back in formation because I wanted to take off, man. They had to slow me down. You know, just, you know, let the air out of my tires. But that's what it means to me.
No discipline. That's awesome. The formation runs were something. And just because you were a comm guy, I thought I'd throw it out there. For all the conditioning marches, the long hikes that the military would do, generally with the company in that, I volunteered to go ahead and add that prick 77. just for the record for the listeners, it's an acronym. It's a type of radio communication device. So it didn't mean anything bad. But I was the one that was humping the radio while we were out there on top of the other gear. I would go ahead and add the radio to my gear.
One more thing, Todd. When I was a little boy, I was 5 years old in 1968, and I told Hulk Hogan, you know, a lot of guys are my heroes, but my very first hero was Adam West, and I read his book, and Back to the Batcave, that he signed for me, and he actually served in the Army in Hawaii, and he was in communication, and I talked to him about this. It was so cool. I did what that man did as a U.S. Army serviceman, and that I'm really proud of that. You know, my original hero.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Todd, were you ever told to go ask for the Pricky 8, anything like that?
I did that to a lot of them.
Oh, my God.
We are so short on stories here. We are so short on time to hit that. But, no, I was the one that did the I would send some of the younger guys to go do that if
Tim will get this.
I would send Tim, the guy that works for me, that would fall for that. I'd done that to those kind of guys repeatedly. I'm just saying without mentioning.
Todd, did they ever ask you to go get them some liquid squelch? Because the squelch
we got a million things that will go out there to go and get yards of flight line. You would send people camouflage paint. They're just their ID10 cards and all that kind of stuff. That was some big brandy. You got anything?
No, I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm just glad to have been on with you all tonight.
Oh, we love having you, Granny.
Diamond
Dave. What you got, brother?
Yes, sir. Once again, thank you to all the veterans. Can't thank you enough. And very close to the heart. And this week, the update on the new rescue, she is doing fantastic at tripling in size and has been a wonderful addition to the family. So it'll be three dogs crashing the show from time to time from here on. But most importantly, coming up this Tuesday, November 17th, I will be celebrating 25 years, 22 of them married, with my wonderful bride, Dale. And,
man, that don't give us a lot of time to get her a sympathy card.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, remember the Flintstones? Happy anniversary. Yeah. Happy anniversary. Happy
anniversary.
Oh, God. Yeah. If you could pass her away, I'm sure it would be heartfelt. but no, she quite literally saved my life. Happy anniversary to her. And what a wonderful show tonight. XX, outstanding. Todd, thank you for emceeing things. And, very well done. So why don't you close it on out? I am going to try to slither inside and close the thing at 10:30. So you go ahead and carry it on to the end there, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, guys, let me tell you, group, you guys are the absolute best. Love the listeners. We were able to sit here, ad hoc show, no script. And I tell you, I looked at the clock. It was like 27 after 9. I looked at the clock again. It was 9:55. And I'm like, next thing I know, I'm watching. I'm like, man, are we going to be able to finish this thing on time? That's just how good you guys are. I really appreciate it. No pre-script. You guys, you do what you do, and you're the best. And here's what I like about what we do is we get to hang out and just talk with one another.
Yeah, man.
And,
in a nice, relaxed setting.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
We're like the old 80s wrestlers. We don't need a script.
No, seriously, we get to do this, and it is so much fun. And now, you know, and at this point, I'm like, you know, Dr. John ain't called in, so I'm sweating about his travels and stuff like that. I mean, there's a million things going on.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, it is, but I've seen him drive, so that's a whole other story.
I don't want to. I've heard horror stories. I'm good.
Hey, Todd, Dave drove my Raider car on my birthday Saturday.
I sure did, and we had a Denver guy looking at us in Baltimore. Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's a guy with Bronco flags on his car. Dave was giving him shit.
I love that. That is awesome. All right, we're here at the bottom of the hour. So, listener, team, big hugs. Love you. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Stars. Diamond Dave, we're good.
Oh, yeah. And there's the British lady with the 10-second call. She ain't in charge of nothing. We are, right? Good night, everybody.
Right?
Happy Veterans Day.
Good night, everybody.
Happy
anniversary, Dave.
Happy anniversary.